Morning, everyone. Let's just have a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. We ask that today you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, our theme today, for anyone who's new, we're studying through the gifts of the Spirit, these lists of gifts that are given that we see throughout the New Testament, but probably clearest in 1 Corinthians. And we've been moving through those in the mornings. They're the power of God in our lives. And also in the evenings, we've been working through the fruit of the Spirit, which we say are the personalities of God in our lives as well. But the gift of faith is today's little theme. And when I think about faith, my mind always goes to this character called Caleb. Because what happens is the children of Israel are released from slavery in Egypt. They're delivered through the wilderness, and they're about to enter into the promises of God. But the problem is there is a big wall up. It's a wall of Jericho. And the problem is you can't just see straight in there. So what they do is they send 12 spies. Moses sends 12 spies. And these 12 spies come back, and they've got something in common. They all say that the land is amazing, okay? That the land's great. It's flowing with milk and honey and all that sort of stuff. They've even, you know, got a grape, and it's massive and all that sort of stuff. It's a great place. But the one thing that they're not all tuned in the same way about is whether or not they can actually take the land, because there are giants living in the mountains of this promised land. And 10 of the spies say, we just need to forget it. There's no way we're going to be able to take these guys down. But two of them, and in fact, these are the only two that will ever see the promised land again, were Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb stands up when he hears them telling the people that it can't be done. He stands up and he says, let us go up at once and occupy it, because we are well able to overcome it. So you have this one solitary voice backed up by Joshua, who believes that it's possible. He is the voice of faith. And it says again and again and again in Scripture about Caleb that he was a man of a different spirit. He was a man of a different spirit. I believe Caleb had the gift of faith. He believed it was possible. And what I would say is for every 10 people that say it can't be done, sometimes God fills one with faith to believe that it can be done. And I believe this is a gift called faith. I wonder, are you a person that when other people say it can't be done, there's giants in the mountains, are you a person that says, of course it can be done. We can certainly do it. That was Caleb in this little story. But what is faith? We talk about faith every single week here in Dallingstown. What actually is it? Well, what do you think? What is faith? We better know, because salvation is by faith alone, isn't that right? So what is faith? Oh, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, if I hadn't been to theological college and didn't know what that was, I actually do know what it was. But what is it? What is Hebrews 11 verse 1? Oh, there we go. He's a King James man. That's very good. Give him a round of applause. That's good, isn't it? Absolutely. Or in ESV language, which are RP Bibles, okay, what we say is faith is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Now, think about that a second. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's really, really, really interesting for me. Put up your hand if you find it hard to believe in miracles. Okay? Nobody's willing to do that on this. Oh, there's one or two. All right, okay, here we go. I'm going to tell you about a Bradford plumber called Smith Wigglesworth who saw 14 people raised from the dead. Put up your hand if you believe that. Oh, that's more than you would ordinarily get. That's good. All right. But some of us don't believe that. Because some of us, we really would say, and I've heard Christians say this, they say, listen, I can't believe something unless I can see it and touch it. Okay? So I find it really hard to believe all these wonderful stories about people having their legs grown back, or people being miraculously healed, or people being risen from the dead. I find that stuff really hard to believe in. But here's the key, folks. If you don't believe in the unseen, you're not a Christian. Now, that's a strong statement, isn't it? If you don't believe in the unseen, you're not a Christian. Because salvation's by faith alone, and faith is to be sure of what we hope for. So sure of something we don't yet have, and certain of what we do not see. If you don't believe in the unseen, you can't be a Christian. Put up your hand if you've seen Jesus in the flesh. Okay, bad church. Nobody? Carlton? We haven't. So we actually say, when we say, I am a Christian, we are saying, we believe in someone we haven't seen. So folks, no longer can we say we don't believe in the power of God. We can't say it anymore. Because if we're Christians, we believe in the unseen. We have to. It's absolutely key. It's part of the deal. And even Jesus says, what does he say to Thomas? Okay, have a wee touch. Okay, have a wee touch of the wounds. But he said, blessed are you that you have believed when you've seen. But even more blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed. We have to believe in the unseen. So we need to be people of faith. We cannot be like the 10 spies who say, no, I don't think we can do it because we're shorter than the giants in the mountains. We have to believe that there's angels. We have to believe that there's a God who empowers. We have to believe that God wants to gift everybody in this church that believes in Jesus. Because faith is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's pretty important. But folks, here is the wee problem I have this morning for you to figure out in your minds. These are smarter than me, you know, Bible verses and all. Okay, here's the problem. Right, the gift of faith. So faith is a spiritual gift. So, does everybody get every gift? No. We've already figured that out. Everybody doesn't get every gift. All right? So, not everybody here has faith? That can't be right. Because you can only be saved by faith. So, if we're Jesus followers here, if we're Christians, we have to believe that we have faith. Here's another problem. What have we said about the fruit of the Spirit? Does everybody get every fruit? Yes. One of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, or faith, depending on what translation you want to read. So the Bible says, gift of faith, not everybody gets this. It says the fruit of the Spirit, faith, everybody gets it. And it says the only way you can be saved is if you have it. So which is it? Do you understand the little question here? Well, I think, hopefully, that faith exists in three categories. So if we move on to the next slide, please, that would be great. Three categories. There's three types of faith that I see in the Bible. The first is what I would call conversion faith. Now, I'm proud of this sermon because they all start with the same letter. This is graduation time for me. Okay? Conversion faith. Conversion faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, if we move on to the next slide, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's a gift, definitely, because it says it's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So there is a faith that allows you to be converted. If you are a Christian, you have seen into the unseen. Now, I'll describe to you how this works. If you read Romans 10, verses 8 to 10, right, we don't have it on the screen, but it says this. What does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. So, to believe in Jesus, to walk with Jesus, involves the mouth and the heart. Point to your mouth, point to your heart. That's what it's all about, mouth and heart. If you want to believe in Jesus, mouth and heart. Let me tell you about the mouth first of all. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Have you done that? So it's a public thing. Faith has to be a public thing. You have to confess with your mouth. Can't be just a wee thing that's inside you all the time. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it says, and believe in your heart in the resurrection. You have to do both of those things. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Then you will be saved. That's what Romans 10 verses 8 to 10 says. That is how you get saved. Public, private. Confess with mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in heart in the resurrection. That is how you are saved. Second type of faith is this. If we move on to the next slide, please. Continuing faith. See, graduation. CF each time. That's a bad thing, isn't it? CF. But anyway, CF, continuing faith. All right, continuing faith. Now, continuing faith is really, really, really important. Because in Northern Ireland, we're obsessed with a moment, aren't we? We're obsessed with a moment of conversion faith, where we said with our lips, okay. And now it's a really important moment, a really, really, really important moment. I had that moment when I was 13 years old of confessing Jesus. But it's equally important your continuing faith. Let me tell you, there is no guarantee that you're going to heaven if you don't believe in Jesus today. That's a strong statement, but I believe it's a biblical statement. There's no guarantee you're going to heaven unless you have faith in Jesus today. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, theologians talk about the past, the present, and the future nature of salvation. What that means is, imagine you are in a boat, and the boat is sinking. Okay, you're in the middle of the ocean, and the boat's sinking. Well, suddenly a rescue boat comes at the right moment and saves you, brings you onto the boat, and you say, hallelujah, I have been saved. But then you're still in the middle of the ocean, you're still floating on the stuff that was going to kill you, so it starts to move back to the shore, and you say to the captain, thank you so much for saving me. And then you arrive on dry land, and you kiss the ground, because you know you're safe now. And you say, I have been saved. That's what happens. Jesus saved me when I was 13, but you know what? Faith in Jesus Christ is still saving me. And you know what? There'll come a day when I'll enter into glory and I will be saved, redeemed, taken into the Father's arms. It'll be beautiful. There's a past, present, and a continuing nature to this faith. And if you actually read, okay, around this, what you'll find is this. I think this is fascinating. Take the whole book of John, and the word used for faith is never the noun pistis, okay, the Greek word pistis. It's never the noun. It's always this continuing verb. Let me show you in the next wee passage on the screen, please. John 20, verse 31, it says this. So why did John write this big book? It says this. But these are written so that you might, our Bible says, believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But what it actually says is these things are written that you might go on believing. Go on believing. Do you have continuing faith today in Jesus Christ? Are you looking into the unseen today through Jesus Christ? Now, folks, let's just stop here for a second. If you don't have conversion faith and continuing faith, you're not on the way to heaven. You're not on the way to heaven. It doesn't matter how many times you come to this building. It doesn't matter how matey you are with me and Carlton and Emma. If you don't have conversion faith and continuing faith, you're not going to heaven. Because what, I mean, John 3:16, again using the word believing, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever goes on believing in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If we're not believing in him, we are on the road to perishing without him. That is the clear message of the Bible. Conversion faith, continuing faith. I love a story. I actually shared this story at a funeral recently, but I just love this little story of an evangelist called D.L. Moody. You've heard of D.L. Moody? All right. And D.L. Moody He was a real amazing evangelist, changed nations with the gospel. It was beautiful. But he was once at this rich posery farmer. Now, I know there's no poser farmers in Darlingstown, okay? But he was at, Theo, is that right? Okay, no, none of those. But in this place, there was, okay, a posery farmer with a great big mansion. And he showed D.L. Moody around his beautiful mansion. And then he took D.L. Moody up onto his beautiful balcony. And he showed D.L. Moody all the fields that he owned. And he said, I own that one over there. And I own that one over there. And I own that one over there. And I'm going to buy that one over there. And D.L. Moody looked up, pointed above the fields, and he says, what do you own up yonder? You know? Do you have conversion faith? Have you received Jesus Christ? And do you have continuing faith? Are you believing in him today? Are you believing in him today? And thirdly, we get to the kind of point of this morning, what I call, if we move on to the next slide, charismatic faith. Charismatic just means gift, okay? Gift.
I'm sorry.
Lower. Huh? Sir? My phone. Nobody's ringing me, are you? All the people I know are here. Okay. Well, we'll try. I'll shout at you. Charismatic faith. Charismatic faith. This is the gift of faith. You see, the important thing, guys, is, does everyone get all the gifts? No. But does everybody get conversion faith if they want it? Yes. Does everybody get continuing faith if they want it? Yes. But we don't all get this gift of charismatic faith. We don't all get it. But here's a wee definition on the next slide of what it is. This guy's amazing, James Dunn, Professor James Dunn. He says this. He says, it's a mysterious surge of confidence, which sometimes arises within a person in a particular situation of need or challenge, and which gives him or her an utterly certainty that God is about to act. Do you get it? Some sort of surge of confidence that says, God is going to act here. God's going to do something here. Something that says to Caleb that when he looks at those massive big giants, he goes, God is going to certainly do this. God's going to certainly do that. I've seen this happen, folks. You know, God's amazing. Because I've went up and prayed for people with zero faith, and he's still done a work of healing in my life at different times. With zero faith. But I've seen people who just walk up to somebody with some very difficult disease or very difficult ailment, and somehow God has given them in that moment an incredible, extraordinary certainty that God's about to act. And they walk up to somebody and they say, now, I know you have got this, but I believe God's going to heal you right now. And you know what? When that certainty comes, God gives it for a reason. Because he is about to act. He is about to act. Now, folks, we need everybody in this room to have conversion faith. Because I like yous enough. Yous are my only friends. No one else will be ringing me. I want to spend eternity with you. I really do. I want you to have conversion faith, and I want you to have continuing faith. But we also need people in this church that have charismatic faith. That's why we're doing the gifts course. We need all the gifts, and we really, really, really need this one as well. I just want to give you three examples that I've seen in church history of people that had, I think, although one of them doesn't think they did, but I'm going to show you three people in church history that I think had this charismatic gift of faith in hope that it stirs up somebody here that has it to use it. Let's move to the next slide and we'll have a wee look. Has anyone ever heard of this lady? Helen Roosevere. Heard of her? Okay, amazing English, isn't that right? English missionary who went to Africa. Certainly ministered in places like Zaire and I think Congo and all that sort of stuff. And she ministered. And I think she went to an Anglican church in her latter years, only passed away in 2016. I think she went to St. Mark's Dundella. And she passed away in 2016. But Helen Roosevere told a story in one of the books of hers that I read, where she went to, she was ministering in Zaire. And unfortunately, there was a a wee lady, they ministered to people in medical ways, and a wee lady was working in one of their missionary bases, and she died in childbirth. And the wee baby was really in a difficult situation. And what Helen Roosevelt was trying to do was to rig up an incubator using a hot water bottle. But the problem was, three or four hot water bottles they managed to find holes in. And this wee baby was going to die. And Helen Roosevelt, she shared this with a bunch of young girls. And one young girl, well, they were all down in the dumps, as you can imagine. One young girl said, "We need to pray. God's going to do something." And the wee girl prayed like this. She said, "God, we need a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late. The baby will be dead. We need a hot water bottle today. And for her wee sister, we need a dolly to comfort her wee sister." And a few minutes later, a man came running with a package from England, sent 5 months before. And it was quite a deep package. They opened it up. It had, first on the top, it had clothes. And the wee girl said, "There's going to be what we need in this package." They took away the clothes, and there was a hot water bottle. She said, "If there's a hot water bottle, there's got to be a dolly." She took away some more clothes, and there was a wee dolly. Isn't that beautiful? Simple wee story of the gift of faith. Let me tell you a more dramatic one on the next slide, if we move forward, please. This man called Smith Wigglesworth. I love this guy because he wrote books, but he never read one. He literally never read a book. Other than the Bible, he never read a book, but he wrote loads. He was a Bradford plumber, and he had this amazing ministry of healing evangelism. Healing evangelism. He's said to have seen 14 people risen from the dead. Amazing, amazing ministry that this man had. But it was just marked by the most incredible, incredible, incredible faith. And he was once called into a situation. I'm just trying to find the story here. He was once called into a situation where there was a girl who was demented by the demonic. And the family had tried everything to deal with this, and nothing would work. And Smith Wigglesworth, even though he had this tremendous faith. Sorry, I'll use something else here. Even though he had this tremendous gift of faith, he was questioning what to do in this situation.
Hello, hello. Oh, yeah. It's great stuff. I'm going to trip over something here, but I will keep going.
And he was terrified, but here's what it says. He wrote this in his own writings. I saw there in the presence of that demented girl limitations to my faith. But as I prayed, there came another faith into my heart that could not be denied. A faith that grasped the promises of God. A faith that believed God's word. I came back from the presence of glory back to earth. I was not the same man. I confronted the same conditions I had seen before, but this time it was in the name of Jesus. With a faith that could shake hell and move anything else, I cried out to the demonic power that was making this woman a maniac, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus." She rolled over and fell asleep, and when she awakened, she was perfectly sane and fully whole. You know, this was a man, I just love what he wrote here. He said there were limitations to his faith, and it said, then he decided he would look at the promises of God's word. And he received a faith that could not be denied. I just love that. The last person I want to tell you about is, if we just move on the slide, please, was a man called George Muller. Have we heard of George Muller? Nothing to do with the fruit corners, okay? George Muller, I think he was born in Germany, but he was converted at a prayer meeting. This man, George Muller, his birthday was just in the week past, okay? Friday, I think. He was converted at a prayer meeting. He was a wee rascal before it, and he was converted. His dad hoped he'd become a minister, but the Lord saved him from that, and he decided he was called to set up orphanages, and he set up orphanages in Bristol.
And I mean, I could tell you lots about this man, but we don't have time. But you can Google him if you wish. But he lived in what was called the faith principle. The faith principle. He was called to set up an orphanage, but he had no money. And what most of us would do then is we'd go to some rich people and would ask them for money, but he never asked for a penny in his entire life. He just trusted God for it. He just prayed for it. And his ministry actually, he raised £110,000 by faith, but that in today's money, that would be millions. Millions. So 110,000 by faith. He built 5 orphan houses accommodating 2,050 orphans, and in his lifetime cared for 10,024. Amazing man who just had faith. Never took a salary for 68 years. 68 years. Never took a salary. But he never went into debt, never had to take out a loan. And even though there were times when it looked like there was no food to feed the orphans, God did mighty things. Now remember, you have to look into the unseen here. God did mighty things. God once kept the orphans from feeling hungry for 2 weeks. Do you understand what I'm saying? Through prayer, he actually stopped the orphans feeling hungry for 2 weeks. Through prayer, he used to have situations where there was nothing on the table and the orphans would pray. There were hundreds of them. And suddenly God would provide. There was a mighty wee story, the famous story of George Muller, where there were a particularly bad situation. There hadn't been food on the table for some days. And George Muller just said, "Let's ask the Lord, give us this day our daily bread." They started to pray and they heard a crash outside. The baker man was traveling with his bread and his cart and the wheel had come off, smashed the cart, and he just came in with all the bread for the orphans. Isn't that powerful? And we believe it, guys, because we believe in the unseen God, don't we? We have faith in things that we hope for and certainty of things we do not see. This is the God we believe in. And the fascinating thing is, you know what George Muller said? He said, "I don't have the gift of faith." If you read his writings, he specifically says, "I don't have the gift of faith." He says, "All I do is what Christians are supposed to do. I believe in what God has said, and I pray into it." He said he didn't have the gift of faith. Folks, I need to close. I have loads more to say, but I'm going to close. Let's move on to the last slide. Here's your wanted poster. We need in this church men and women of faith. We need an army of faith people who have been saved by faith. That's really important this morning, are operating in continued faith. But we also need people of mountain-moving faith. See, the fascinating thing is in 1 Corinthians 12, it lists off, I'd love to look at this closer with you, but in 1 Corinthians 12, it lists off the gifts. You've got all the gifts, you know, to each one is given a gift. There's prophecy, there's tongues, they're all listed off. And when it comes to faith, it just says gift of faith. But then at the start of 1 Corinthians 13, it basically talks about having gifts without love is pointless. But it records the gift of faith this time as mountain-moving faith. So the gift of faith is mountain-moving faith. What did Jesus Christ say to the disciples right after he cursed the fig tree and it withered? He said, you have access to faith. That if you believe, you could say to this mountain, "Jump into the sea. Jump into the sea." Here, folks, is what I was thinking about just this morning was this. Caleb was told, wasn't he? You can't go in to the promised land. Why? Because there's giants in the mountains. What does Jesus say? He says, "Tell the mountains to jump. Tell the mountain to jump. See if the giants can swim." We need in this church, every single one of you, to have conversion faith and continuing faith. But there's people here, if you would discover it, you have mountain-moving faith that we can really, really use as we push forward into the things of God. Let's stand together. Only broke one microphone today. That was good. And folks, very simply this morning, what I would love to do is, I just invite the prayer guys forward, please. And remember, the prayer guys, they're just ordinary people as well. They need the gift of faith. They need a wee bit of impartation of faith like all the rest of us, but they're just willing to pray with others. And what I just want to say to you is, if you want faith, whether it be conversion faith, faith to keep going, or whether you want mountain-moving faith, do come forward and the prayer team will just very gently pray for you. So do feel free to come forward just now. Let's just come. Let's not hold back in any way. If you want faith, balcony two, I know you have a... Don't jump. Don't have that much faith. Use the stairs. But come forward, and these guys are just going to pray for you real quickly, because we want to pray for plenty of people this morning. But if you want faith, conversion faith, continuing faith, or faith to move mountains, come forward. And that's all you've got to say to the team. I want this kind of faith. And they'll just ask the Lord for you. Bible says if you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't have it, it's because you haven't asked for it. So let's come forward and receive some ministry. I'm just going to pray, and then the guys will lead us in a song. Fantastic. Mighty to save. Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Let's pray, and keep coming forward during my prayer. Feel free. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the faith that enables us to be saved. And Lord God, I pray that there would not be a single person here that hasn't yet embraced the grace of Jesus Christ to be saved. Lord, I maybe sense there are people here that feel insecure in their faith. And we know that the continuing faith of Jesus Christ guarantees that we are walking with him and walking with him into eternity. So, Lord, would you just really bless people with the faith to keep on believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And, Lord, I pray as well that you would place in our lives and hearts, in our community here, people who have mountain-moving faith, that don't just have the faith to defeat giants, but the faith to actually ask the mountains would be cast into the sea. Come, Holy Spirit, as we worship, build a throne. Lord Jesus, come and take your place in our church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.